Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, it's time to Fast Forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on the upswing. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Steve Glenn and Martin Moore.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. The future of almost everything on the upswing, as we do each and every Thursday. Local analysis on national issues and unique technology and community trends and takes on important business news. That's what we do today. The future of free community events like the 3rd of July fireworks at the lakefront. That won't happen this year. We'll talk about the state of milk. We'll talk about the future of cocktails, a new local brand debuting on June 21st. We'll talk about the future of store brands that are just proliferating everywhere. And I saw some interesting news about Cracker Barrel. There's only 5 Cracker Barrels in the state of Wisconsin, but we're going to tell you what that chain is doing. Steve Glenn, Chief Milwaukee Officer at Experience Milwaukee, text MKE, and CMO at MISO. As always, joins us, and Martin Moore, content creator, podcaster, YouTuber, commercial photographer, all things costs, joins us as well.
So sorry, I was texting DJ Shauna.
Oh, jeez.
So the fireworks are canceled.
I'm so sad.
While the annual lakefront fireworks won't happen this year, Milwaukee County Parks still says that 14 other fireworks shows are going to happen on Independence Day. But let's just read the quote from County Parks. While we understand the cherished tradition this event holds for many in our community, we are committed to providing alternative celebrations to ensure a memorable Independence Day experience for all. Milwaukee County Parks said that without sponsor support, the department cannot afford the $350,000 cost for the fireworks alone. What's the future of large-scale free events in Milwaukee? That's a big question, but we got to start here.
I can't believe it's $350,000. Yeah. Like, that's insane.
It's a lot of fireworks.
Yeah, it is.
Well, you look at the cost for the show and the cleanup and safety, everything that goes into it.
That's
and you got
true.
An entire department that's putting this on. It's not, you know, it's not
cheap.
A small feat.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it sounds like maybe someone wasn't fundraising early enough.
Right.
Because it seems like something that gets a lot of eyeballs, gets a lot of Milwaukeeans involved and engaged in. It's a great, fun celebration. I can think of a dozen Milwaukee brands that would want to be part of that.
Yeah. Well, and there's always been corporate support for events like this, but at the same time,
Do you guys know if it's just a thing where they just get one donor, or is it something that they could like fragment and sort of like just chip away at it with a bunch of donors? Or I don't, believe it or not, I know nothing about fundraising for fireworks.
I think it's probably a little bit of both.
Sure.
You know, you get one big or two
big
bigs. Yeah, and a couple of complimentary.
I mean, it could just be a point that, you know, civic and corporate priorities continue to change and evolve.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And
things.
I mean, it's a lot of money.
Of course,
no one had the bandwidth to do this, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And those priorities have shifted into other needs. I mean, the circus parade doesn't happen anymore in Milwaukee.
Right.
The Christmas parade doesn't happen anymore in Milwaukee. Those were huge community events that families enjoyed. They were free. They're incredibly festive.
Yeah.
But
a lot of times,
maybe it's run its course.
There's just not an ROI for businesses on that side. You know, like when you go to the fireworks and you're camping out, can you name 3 of the sponsors? Probably not.
Right.
So it's one of those things where when money gets tight in an economy like this, you know, you shift those advertising dollars to something that might be more advantageous to your bottom line and your shareholders and, you know, whatnot.
He's talking like a true marketer over here.
There you go. That is it. Well, hey, you know, we say on the show often, change is inevitable.
Yeah.
And there's nothing constant but change. And that's okay. There's going to be other ways to plug into the fireworks in our community. And that is okay. We have a little bit of breaking news and an announcement from Summerfest today.
Ooh.
I want to get your take on a new immersive experience that's coming to the grounds. And next, after that, THC. Is that the new buzz in Brew City?
Hello.
This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. We're back. The upswing, the future of almost everything. Martin Moore, Steve Glenn, join us on Thursdays. Got an email this morning from Summerfest announcing a new immersive experience this year called Yield. Let me just read it for you. Step into a cosmic cornfield and be immersed in a glowing maze of light, sound, and sculpture at this brand new Summerfest experience in 2024, featuring tens of thousands of individually addressable LEDs with a multi-channel sound system, moving light and sounds. This one-of-a-kind immersive experience developed by Fuzz Pop Workshop draws on childhood memories of getting lost in fields of corn and turns into familiar memory into an otherworldly experience. That, as we count down to Summerfest, is coming to the lakefront. What do you think?
I think it's scary and cool at the same time.
Kind of
I'm in.
Yeah. Where's the real estate for this?
Yeah, like, I know.
Where are they putting this?
It will be located near the South Gate.
South Gate.
South Gate. What? Okay. Boy, they're gonna have to. They're gonna have to move something like a stage.
Over by the amphitheater.
Yeah, over by the amphitheater. Yeah, well,
maybe in that parking lot area thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet you're right. I bet you're right. Yeah.
That seems pretty cool.
I mean, I like.
So it's like a corn maze, but with lights?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. An immersive light and sound experience that you walk into and experience.
Boy, that's got to be a pain to set up.
I got an idea.
All right.
The three of us go and do it together.
Oh, an Instagram live?
Yeah.
Upswing, yes. Instagram.
We will do some videos.
I'll be
some
screaming.
Audio, and we'll give you our experience firsthand.
Yeah, let's do it.
Hopefully all three of us make it out alive.
Done.
I'll be crying somewhere.
So check it out as you make your Summerfest plans for this year. So THC is the new buzz in Wisconsin, and especially in the cocktail world. But is it the future? Let me just kind of set the table here. In March, Indeed Brewing Company launched a THC-infused drink as a follow-up to its gummies that it did last year. They're only available to go, and they feature 5 milligrams each of CBD and hemp-derived THC. And on the summer solstice, which is June 21st, incidentally, Jeff Sherman's
birthday. Your
birthday. Just putting it out there. The debut of Goodland Extracts, a new line of THC spirits from Goodland, which is co-owned by Ryan Pate, who's also a developer in town. And they're a Milwaukee-based cannabis extracting company. The first release of their botanical spirit with juniper, orange, and ginseng will kind of be launched as almost a replacement of old school gin.
Ooh.
And it's going to be released to the public. You can find it on their website on June 21st. What are your thoughts on the voyage into THC and cocktails and that evolution?
I like it. I mean, I'm a big fan as someone who loves bourbon, and Steve can attest to this.
Yes.
Bourbon
yes.
and whiskey. I'm a big fan of any alternative that, you know, gives you that little buzz, that good feeling where you can unplug that isn't alcohol. Alcohol is just, it's so bad, and it causes so many problems in the state for drunk driving and just, you know, there's all kinds of abuse and stuff like that and just health issues with it. So I'm a big fan of anything that where you can kind of take the edge off and have a good time and kick back that doesn't involve alcohol. So, I mean, I'm all for it. I think it'll be cool. Never had it, but I think it'll be sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't tried it yet. Yet, because right. in my work with the Experience Milwaukee podcast, we have actually been approached by several THC-infused beverage companies from outside of the state who are eyeing up Milwaukee as a perfect place to expand.
Yeah. So from an entrepreneurial lens, this seems like a pretty good idea on a local level with local distribution and local ownership. But, you know, the rub maybe is that kind of hemp-derived THC is not regulated by the state of Wisconsin yet or the federal government. So what's coming next in terms of regulation, could that impact sales?
And
Wisconsin is mindful of that, knowing that it's probably coming.
Yeah. Wisconsin isn't particularly a state that is open to, we'll let people have 19 DWIs and all that kind of stuff.
Don't you bring the weed in here?
But and so that'll definitely be a roadblock and something to watch.
I mean, do you have predictions as to the kind of the legal path in Wisconsin for THC?
Yeah, probably won't happen. It'll get shut down.
We're just too stuck in the middle that we're not going to be able to go this way or that way.
I've heard as soon as they're not worried about who's going to get credit for the tax revenue that comes in because of it. As soon as they're okay with who's going to get credit for that positive aspect of it, then it'll all happen.
Yeah. There's a lot of money, and the state needs it for education, for roads and infrastructure, and I mean, it's just sitting there waiting for us to take it and use it responsibly.
It's going to all the states around us right now, I'll tell you that much.
Well, Goodland makes gummies, seltzers, and other THC products like creams. And the new spirit is going to be priced at like $40 a bottle. It's going to be called Flipside Cannabis Spirit. Goodland's Extracts plans to make other THC spirits like a tequila and, Steve Glenn, a bourbon.
There we go. I'm in.
Put it on the list.
I'm in.
They are solving, filling a void in the marketplace.
Absolutely.
That's something to keep an eye on for sure. When we come back, are you buying more store brands at the grocery store? Because a lot of people are. This is the upswing, the future of almost everything. And you are listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, the future of almost everything. Martin Moore and Steve Glenn join us today.
Charlie always has the best music for us, producer.
Charlie's
Chosen of the Corn.
It. Going back
corn
to
maze.
The corn maze conversation at Summerfest that we opened the show on, you'll be getting more about that from us because we're going to take immersive experience together and bring it back to you on the show because that is our commitment to you. So a new drink is being made under the brand Flipside Cannabis Spirit. Saw this story in JS Online a couple days ago. Goodland Extracts plans to make a THC spirits with a tequila and bourbon also in the works. The first one will be a gin-like spirit, and I just wanted to clarify this, 2.5 milligrams of hemp-derived THC in one shot. So you can kind of, you replace it. It's not a gin shot, but you got 2.5 milligrams of THC.
I like the fact that's not a gin shot because I can't stand gin. Like, it tastes like cleaning supplies.
I can't stand shots.
So just so people know, that is the amount of milligrams in the new drink, and you can watch for it. Look at the website. It's already online. Like I said, $40. Debuts June 21st.
Is there like a normal kind of, quote, normal milligram amount? Like, what is it, five? Is it two?
I think five, like between five
like
and ten.
Where you want to stay?
I think.
I've heard that.
Yeah, text it.
I mean, what Indeed Brewing Company had, they have a double high fiver that brings kind of a bigger boost, and there was 10 milligrams of CBD and THC. So
I've seen 10, 20, 50.
Yeah.
Like, do you just drink a little bit?
I don't know.
I know Cloud Red in Shorewood has a couple THC-infused drinks on their menu, and they level it.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Beginning, medium. High.
Yeah.
Right. And, you got to go in. You got to go in how you want to, but you got to be aware, too.
You got to go slow.
That's what worries me about the future of the THC beverage.
Sure.
You marry it,
slow.
It with alcohol. You marry it with other things. You still have to be incredibly mindful when you get in a vehicle because it's not good.
Uber.
And it'll hit you.
Yes. Yeah. All right, so the Wall Street Journal had a big piece the other day about store brands. Essentially, goodbye Chips Ahoy cookies and French's mustard. Hello, Great Value, Private Selection, and Signature Select.
Up and up.
National brands are still king in the United States, making up 78% of overall food and beverage dollar sales. But are you buying more store brands at the grocery store? Because there's new ones coming each and every day.
I still go with the tried and true kind of big brands.
Yeah.
You're a Jack's Pizza guy then?
No. I don't know. But yes, I am, regardless of what brand that is. I'm in on Jack's Pizza.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah.
Do you eat a whole Jack's Pizza when you make
easily.
One?
Easily.
Sure.
It's like
or why even make it in the first place?
Right.
You're not going to eat the
it's
whole
delicious.
Thing.
I'm going with a Palermo Screaming Sicilian. Actually, that was my dinner last night.
I'll do the same.
Yes. Good.
Can you eat that whole thing?
Yeah, for the most part.
If he tried, he could do it.
Yeah. And I'm not going to buy
if
the
you had
store
a CBD beer.
Then you're definitely and some other things.
I'm not going to buy the
Doritos.
Store brand pizza. That's just me.
Yeah.
But other items, and especially as they continue to get better with a look and feel and new marketing to them, you're going to walk the aisles and you're going to be like, ooh, that one looks a little better. And it's not, you go down the cereal aisle for sure.
Oh, my God.
And you have what? The Lucky Charms versus the Magic Treasures,
right?
Tasty O's.
The Rice Krispies and the toasted rice. And the textures and the flavors don't really match, but all those are getting better and better at the stores, and they're co-producing with the big brands and just knocking the price down. Yeah. So I think it's a good way to
Where
go
do you
for
guys
families.
Grocery shop?
What?
Typically.
What's that?
We're Roundy's Metro Market,
okay.
Sendix, and Whole Foods. That's okay. kind of our mix.
Whole Foods?
Yeah, I mean...
Boy, Whole Foods, where you can get a sack of potatoes for $89.
Yeah, but,
they're good.
The Whole Foods store brand is about as affordable as anywhere else.
Amazon owns Whole Foods,
Amazon
right?
does, yes.
No Aldi, huh?
Yep.
I'm a huge Aldi guy.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, their meat selection.
Really?
Rival Sendix.
Sound like my mother-in-law now.
We'll do Trader Joe's, obviously owned by the same company
as Aldi.
That's
even worse than Whole Foods. I mean, that's like...
Do you know what I do, though?
You go there
seriously?
For cheese and peanuts, and it's like $175.
This is how lazy I am. I shop for some groceries at Target, and I do same-day delivery, $9.99.
Yeah, that's great.
It shows up. They text you the whole time you're doing it.
What do you order from Target?
I ordered a bunch of Doritos and snacks and
candy. Define a bunch of Doritos?
Like the giant,
two bags?
Like the 48-bag box of...
Oh, my... Yeah. You eat that many Doritos?
I have four kids.
You don't have a white couch, do you?
I have four kids.
Well, Saturday marks the first day of Dairy Month, so we're going to talk about the future of dairy, give you some insight as to what Roundy's does with its branded milk. Welcome back to The Upswing. Martin Moore, Steve Glenn join on the future of almost everything. Locally, just a little more context on the store brand discussion to wrap that up. Roundy's store brand of milk is made right here in Greater Milwaukee in Cedarburg. So it's a Wisconsin farm. The milk is produced really close to home. It arrives in the store in 24 hours. It means it's, you know, fresh for 10 days from the place of purchase, so that's good to know kind of where your store brands are coming from. And also, Roundy's shredded cheeses are made right in Plymouth.
Oh.
So they're not like shoring that out to California. Like, they're keeping it in Wisconsin, which is central because Saturday marks the first day of Dairy Month. And in Wisconsin, that's something to celebrate for sure. Our state's home to 5,600 dairy farms, which I think California's still got us beat by a little bit, but it kind of depends how you position it. But nearly 1,200 licensed cheesemakers as well. Milwaukee Magazine had a really good feature on all things milk recently, and they cited that Americans are drinking less and less milk and actually been on the decline since the USDA began to track it in 1975. Mm. You guys drink milk in your household daily?
I don't.
No.
Not unless I
not
have
daily.
The only time I really drink milk is I have a little in my coffee in the morning. So like one of those small things lasts me like a month. Okay. Or during Girl Scout cookie season,
then I
load up on some milk.
Yeah,
other
cereal.
Than that, I don't drink it.
I throw it in the cereal.
My wife grew up on a dairy farm. So every dinner they would just go out, scoop it up. And
okay. Wow. Her parents still run it? Family still involved?
Dad does.
In the state?
Wow. Yeah, in Wisconsin, in Gaze Mills.
Okay. Wow. That's awesome.
Cheese is a different story.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. So what do you think, I mean, in terms of, obviously there's surveys find that milk drinkers choose cow milk mainly because of the taste, right? Mm-hmm. And it's tradition.
Delicious.
But there's all these milk alternatives now that are driven by healthier considerations, right? You got soy, oat, almond, coconut, rice, pea, cashew, more and more. They're all a little bit more expensive. But from the consumer lens, it's
those are
better
though, right?
For you. Well, can you call them milk or should we call them
milk? They're
milk
the way Taco Bell is Mexican food.
Oh, hey now. You watch that. You assaulted alcohol before. Don't you dare assault Taco Bell. Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on calling non-milk?
No, absolutely
milk?
Not.
No?
I think it's just easier to, you know, it's familiar. I don't mind it. I'm not a milk purist.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's unfair to the dairy farmers and the whole industry in general. It makes it could confuse the customer, and I think it could hurt and potentially it's obviously impacted the dairy industry. And so I think call it what it is. If it's not milk, it's not milk.
Yeah.
Call it almond drink or I don't know whatever.
I've done the almond milk. particularly is in the cafe.
Hmm.
And when they say what kind of milk do you want
right.
in your drink, and then they give you the options, they typically recommend like an almond over the regular milk because of how it interacts with all the other ingredients.
Well, and when we can, we'll buy the whole milk or 2% and go organic because it just feel like it's healthier and better for you. And really only our 16-year-old drinks a ton of milk in the household.
Sure.
So, yeah. You might
what's
as well.
The, can I ask you guys a personal question? How long will you let the milk sit in there after it expires and you'll drink it without sniffing it?
Yeah. I don't mess with expiration.
I don't.
Never.
Like the day.
I don't go
it's the 27th.
Even if it's before.
Dump it out.
If it's a day before, it's out.
My
Any
wife,
food.
I was the same. Mainly because when I was in my early 20s, I went to grab some milk from the refrigerator to make a bowl of cereal, made it, and it was so sour. I looked and the milk was over a month old.
Okay.
So I'm very, very particular about the expiration date on that.
I mean, the good thing is there's a lot of innovation coming to the space. Dairy farms, Prairie Dairy Farms announced earlier this year that they're launching lactose-free dairy options.
That's
so
a big one.
If you're there's lactose a lot of people, intolerant, you have that option.
I guarantee I'm lactose intolerant. There's a lot of people I think that are finally aware that they are, and I think that's definitely had an impact on the dairy industry
for sure.
Yeah. And then lab-grown dairy is arriving too. I mean, dozens of companies have sprouted up recently that are making lab-grown milk. You erase the environmental concerns,
sure,
but it's kind of like the lab-grown meat. It causes some challenges in the consumer's mind, but maybe you're able to innovate in that space and do things in a more efficient and environmentally friendly manner,
cost friendly.
I wonder how one lab grows milk. Like my brain can comprehend how they lab grow like meat and all that other stuff. Milk. Like, I feel like this is something you would make, like Kool-Aid, water, a little thing, a little bit of sugar. Like, how do you lab grow?
If it tastes good, I'm in.
That's right. Bring on the innovation. So one place that sells a whole lot of milk is Cracker Barrel.
Ooh.
But it's kind of stuck in a generational gap, but the new CEO has some changes that are coming. There's only 5 of them in Wisconsin, but we're going to analyze the future of Cracker Barrel when we come back. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ.
So I actually do like Cracker Barrel. As a matter of fact, just last year, I mean, my family and I were at that Cracker Barrel, that very same one. And that's not the only place. I mean, we go to Holy Hill every single year.
We cover the future of almost everything on Thursdays with Martin Moore and Steve Glenn. Cracker Barrel's up next. But I want to go to the WTMJ Talk and Text line and read some insights coming in. Just amazing fans and listeners all across the state. The WTMJ Talk and Text line, by the way, 855-616-1620. From the 414, take a look at the shelf life on your fake milk, guys. It's oil. And that's the thing with the oat milks and the nut milks. Like, it's not all just an extracted milk from, an almond.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other stuff in it. So you got to be really, really mindful of that.
So what you're saying is not only is it not milk, it's not almonds either.
yes.
Drink it fast. I think that's what I heard.
And from the 414, going back to our discussion on store brands, says, the stash of Sendix dark chocolate candy bars in my house, perfect.
Those are
there's a store brand.
That listener,
legit.
And then I want to know, who makes that store brand for Sendix? I'm going to explore that. Right. You got to call in. I'd love to have the CEO of Sendix on in the future to talk. Hey, how do you make your store brand products? Yeah. Where do they come from?
That'd be an interesting right conversation.
Yeah, they have especially if they're really good.
They have a lot of unbranded packaged stuff. Especially like in the candy aisle, I'm just saying, a friend told me.
All right, very good. So Cracker Barrel, when was the last time you were at a Cracker Barrel, guys?
Oh, it's been a few years.
When I was I've been to a Cracker Barrel once in my life, and I couldn't tell you anything about the experience or
the food.
Or,
it was good.
So
it's fun.
Customers are older, 55 plus, and the old country store and its tchotchkes just don't seem to be cool anymore. There are 5 in the state left. Germantown, Kenosha, Janesville, Madison, and Baraboo. But let me tell you what's happening there. This, according to the Wall Street Journal, Cracker Barrel Old Country Store slashing its dividend by around 80% so the family dining chain can put in hundreds of millions of dollars into overhauling all of its restaurants and updating its brand. So is there a way to the future to update kind of an outdated old school breakfast brand? And is it worth
that? That's a bigger conversation,
right? I mean, these are conversations that businesses are having each and every day. But for a huge publicly traded chain, like, what do you do? Do you remodel your stores as prototypes and then roll that out? Or do you stick with what you're doing and carry on?
I mean, that's tough. This is, I don't know how big Cracker Barrel is. I'm assuming they're national if they're publicly traded.
There's 660 Cracker Barrel locations.
Okay, that's Cracker Barrels. You know, we've had this conversation on this show before a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about like Applebee's and TGI Fridays and Ponderosa, Red Lobster. A lot of these larger national restaurant chains, they're just not surviving. They're not thriving, and they're dropping one by one. And so we've seen them try and rebrand. We've seen them try and remodel, and it obviously hasn't worked. So I don't know that that is a road or an avenue I would go down for Cracker Barrel, because, you know, it obviously isn't working for other brands. Why is it going to work for you? So maybe invest more in what got you to where you are and try and leverage that and see what happens. It's tough. I mean, all of those restaurant chains, those national chains are slowly and unfortunately dying. People just aren't interested.
Yeah. I mean, briefly, here's their plan. They're going to remodel 25 to 30 of the company's 660 stores. They're going to slim down on the chain's retail selection and menu offerings and make the stores easier to operate. And then they're going to update the menu, maintaining its kind of Southern comfort identity. But they got some pushback in 2022 when they went plant-based sausage and, you know, social media kind of blew up around it. But now the CEO said, you know what? It's totally selling well. We did all right with that shift. We're going to continue to make those innovations because that's what the customer is demanding.
I mean, you have to try something.
Yeah.
You can't just sit there and fade away.
One of the big problems, too, when you do something like that is you try and make such a drastic change in your brand's identity and your menu and all that to draw on new customers. What you're going to do is alienate your current customers who go there for that menu, who go there for that experience and what they're comfortable with. And so it's a double-edged sword because you could do twice the damage by doing a full renovation and brand gut job. And so you got to be really careful when you dabble in that kind of stuff.
All right. When we come back for the break, we'll wrap up our conversation with Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. It's WTMJ's Jeff Sherman. Let's give away a gift card to the Mineshaft restaurant in either Hartford or Oshkosh. The Sherman family, we live in the North Shore, but the Mineshaft in Hartford is a staple when the kids want the huge $2 million game room, great pizza, and mom and dad just kind of need a good place to hang out at the bar. But we can be together as a family, too. We know that the kids are safe and cool hanging out in the game room at the Mineshaft. So we'll take caller number 8 at 855-616-1620. Caller gets a gift card to the historic Mineshaft. And a friendly reminder that Thursdays, that's today, feature buy one, get one free pizza. Also today, to go on our dining conversation, gentlemen, Downtown Dining Week starts its 18th edition today. Week-long event coordinated by Milwaukee Downtown features more than 30 downtown restaurants. Mm. The event invites everyone to enjoy multi-course menus for only $15 to $25 for lunch, three courses, or $35, $45, or $55 for dinner. It's not bad. You know, you can walk into a restaurant and know what you're going to get. Yeah. There's a set price.
I like that.
And, you know, participating restaurants all around downtown. You plan to plug into Downtown Dining Week?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I have plugins to Downtown Dining Week.
It's usually every day. The first thing Martin says when he gets to the studio is like, what's for lunch?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm hungry.
We're in the 3rd Street Market. I mean, I'm just surrounded by food. We talk about food. We end with the Mineshaft.
I see people cooking it right now.
Another good thing is that there are discounted parking options at select lots and structures operated by Interstate Parking that will be made available during Downtown Dining Week too. So check out Downtown Dining Week at downtowndiningmke.com. So I want to give you each maybe 30 seconds or so to give us what you're working on now.
Martin?
Steve Glenn.
Oh. Let's go to Martin. I'm in
Let's go to Martin, yeah.
What am I working on? French. This is my second week learning French. We're going to Quebec in a month, and so...
What platform or app are you using?
Duolingo.
Duolingo?
Yeah. Okay. Duolingo, and then this really cool website that is like... It uses AI, and it's one of the best, apparently, translation apps, because it can detect, like, different regions and stuff like that, and because, like, in Quebec, they speak very different French than they do in France, and so Quebec just passed a new law where something like 80% of businesses... have to have, like, everything has to be in French. Like, even if, like, KFC there is PFC, like, you can't have, like, any English. And so
conversational in terms of the education on the app, in terms of how you learn?
So far,
or is it word by word?
So far, I'm learning to say, like, I like cats and I'm a boy who likes cats and stuff. But I've actually learned a lot off the app, so through this AI thing. So
nice. Steve? Congrats, Steve.
Yeah, I'm as part of the Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra, or MISO. I have been consumed in how we bring that organization out to the community. So that's like, I'm literally doing that nights and weekends and mornings and day. But other than that, hunkering down for the Admirals playoffs.
All right. Very good. Yeah. Lost last night, but I got faith. We want to get up to the Calder Club finals for sure. We need another finals victory in the market and in the great state of Wisconsin. Please. Well, I appreciate all the talk and text line inquiries and statements and insights from the 414.
Any insults?
No insults. From the 414, interesting discussion on themed restaurants. The problem could be nostalgia aimed at baby boomers is beginning to run out a little bit. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye on that. I promised a show on the future of eye care at the local level. So tomorrow, the CEO of Wisconsin Vision, Darren Hordash, joins us. See you then.